We're in Psalm 8 to so that I can explain again that I've made another mistake and I need to clarify it. Now, here's one reason why I like clarifying and admitting to mistakes. The main reason is like in the case of, I called it Elohim and it was Adonai, is that I, in my heart, I accept it, I own it, I'm okay, I'm not perfect, I do make mistakes. And so, but that one, with Adonai being the name instead of Elohim, has just exploded, and you know because we're in the middle of it. But another mistake that I made was that I said that the name Adonai is always applies to God, and the name Adon, A-D-O-N, which is just another version, applies to people, and usually leaders on some level or something, not leaders in the way we would think, but those who should be protectors, like a husband might be called that, and would be at times. And Alana just did that with her husband, so she got it. Anyway, in Psalm 8, verse 1, it says, O Lord, which is Jehovah, our Lord, and that second, our Lord, is Adon, which I said never applies to God, it always applies to man. Well, I'm wrong, and I'm wrong regularly. That's why you search the scripture so much, because you never know how far off I'm going to be. So stay at it. Keep loving the Lord and digging in. let me just read a little bit. Before I do that, let me just say we're going to go to Psalm 16, which is the actual next use of the word Adonai in the Psalms. Psalm 2 is the first one. So if you want to go ahead and now turn to Psalm 16, and then I'm just going to read a few things that you know we've talked about, but I just want to maybe expand slightly. Adonai is primarily a designation given by those who are going through sufferings and will ultimately lay down their lives in a lamb's spirit. That is a time when it appears that the enemy has won. So I put, that is a time in parentheses, the quarter. That is a time in the quarter when it appears that the enemy has won, such as Jesus' sufferings before and at the cross. When they have followed through in that spirit, then our Adonai will deal with the evildoers and will raise / exalt that which is after his kind, after Jesus, after the Lamb's kind. Okay, and then just another statement here. And this one I've said before, but I think it'd be good to kind of try to capture this and then, of course, take it back to the Holy Spirit and let him reveal it. Adonai is the one to whom we give honor as if in nature we were a part of Elohim and from whom we trust for care while and after the fiery trials brought about by the evildoers. Okay, so let's just say it like this. Okay, from the very beginning, we know Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's the first words that he said in relationship to us before we even existed. And so if that likeness that he wanted truly displayed to the world was a lamb instead of a great victorious, something that would be seen throughout all eternity as, you know, I'm a winner and I'm strong and I'm your safety is in me because I'll use all power to do, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, that God failed then if that was the case, because Jesus is a slaughtered lamb on the throne, and that's going to be from now on, okay? And that's the symbol, the symbol of Christianity, if that we probably made it that, and those little things we wear around our neck or whatever, is the cross. It's not the resurrection. You know, if it was that, it probably we would wear a little tomb with a stone rolled away and go, yeah, can't keep a good man down. But the cross and but greater than the physical cross, the lamb on that cross, because the cross, the two pieces of wood, mean nothing unless the lamb's spirit is manifest on it. Because there's two guys on either side of him that had two pieces of wood, and they basically meant nothing. It was that spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, what are they doing? They're crucifying God's Son. Okay? And he's handling it in that spirit. All right. So my point of this was, Adonai is the one to whom we give honor as if in nature we are part of Elohim. Now, we're not God, and we're not going to be God ever. But we are one with him who is God. That's Jesus. We're one with Jesus. And the great oneness, the great oneness that he desires to flourish among us is this spirit. This spirit. There's an old saying that Christians are the only people that kill their wounded. This heart and this spirit, so that we by Christ in us could manifest that, but be in total agreement with it and have proven it in the darkest trial of our life, the sufferings of Christ, where we will be accused of everything that we would never be, like Jesus was. This outrageous things to him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. But to us, you know, anything's believable as long as somebody says it. All right. So, as if in nature we were part of, in other words, we were made in his image. We are part of Elohim and ready to move in that spirit with them. Not just being the weaker one, but if at whatever time he needed us for someone else to be an Adonai, then that would be Christ in us, but it would still be through us who are in agreement, but it is more than agreement. It is who have embraced oneness as the most real thing of your life. All right, Psalm 16 and verse, let's see, I got a wrong verse here. Verse 1. All right, so here's what we're going to do in Psalm 16. There's a real possibility that this class on Psalm 16 is going to bleed over into maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We'll just have to see. But it would be good for me to explain to you in advance that Psalm 16 is quoted in the New Testament, and it's quoted by Peter in different parts, as if Peter, and it was quoted very early, about as early as you can get, almost, as far as after Jesus was raised from the dead. And there are certain things that he's going to bring out, and some of those things are, I believe, are things that he heard from Jesus, and we'll go through scriptures that we've actually gone through before, but we're using them in a different way. He's actually heard from Jesus, and remembers them. And then when they're in the upper room waiting 50 days, seeking the Lord all together, in one place, one accord, he read something, not just in Psalm 16, but in some of the other scriptures, that rang in his ears that this is exactly what Jesus was trying to say. Even though it's slightly different words, it's the same thing. And he's full of a good thing. And he just explodes with the word and with the fullness of that. All right. So, here we go. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God. Okay. So I will tell you that much of this does relate to the crucified. But if this does, and this is talking about Jesus crying out, and we will, within the same chapter, see Peter spell it out and say, this is talking about Jesus. This, the fulfillment of this wasn't some guy back in, you know, wasn't David. He even says that. Preserve me. So this sounds like Jesus is the weakened one, the willing weakness of him in this situation, the cross, the trial, all of that. And he's saying, preserve me, O Lord, O God, O Adonai. But remember, the New Testament doesn't get into that, but just stick with me just for short, real short amount of time. For in thee do I put my trust. Okay, so he's talking to his Adonai. Oh, my soul, here it is, the soul rising up in the corridor. Thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Adonai. Okay? Now, we have this same thing written in the New Testament, but, of course, they don't use these various names. So, how do we know that's it? We read the very same thing and where it came from in the Old Testament. All right. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom in all is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. Remember, this is Psalm 16. Nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. He's talking to Adonai again. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath, and that word is Jehovah, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night sessions. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so now verse 8. And this is the part that's quoted in the New Testament by Peter. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Okay, so actually what I just quoted there was Acts 2. But it sounds so close, and so we'll compare those. So let's see. Again, Psalm 1, preserve me, that's speaking to Adonai in verse 2. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, to Adonai, thou art my Lord, or to Jehovah, thou art my Adonai, my goodness extendeth not to thee. So one of the things, one of the simpler things to start noticing, not just here, but in the Bible, is the interplay, and I keep saying this, but I will keep playing it, the interplay of Elohim. It doesn't always use the name Elohim in it because it's the three of them flowing with one another. So here we have it. Preserve me, O God. There's two of them. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Adonai. So you see this interplay that's taken place out there. And they're doing it, they're noting Elohim, or they're functioning as Elohim without even using the term, because it's who they are. Okay. Now let's skip down to verse 8. This is, I guess up here I did quote the same one. This is Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Now let's see the interplay again. I have set the Lord. Okay. This is, if you can really grasp this, what you're going to see is that we think God is up there, quote unquote, up there just to make us happy and to make our life good. And so he's leaning over the clouds, looking intently to find if there's any way that he can relate to us or help us. What you're seeing here and what you'll see over and over and over again is we're not even mentioned in the thing. This is an interplay between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how they flow. This is how they move. This is the way they think. This is the way they're built as God, Elohim. And so I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. See, one is higher than the other. I set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved because he's at my right hand. This is not David. David wrote this, but this is not David. This is the way the Lord functions with one another. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. This is talking about getting through the corridor, the cross. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, that's he's talking about himself, to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, they're not just relating. There is an incredible honor, and all the things that we ought to be saying, they say to one another. If I could say it like that, all the things that. The honor and the, I've set you before me. You're at my right hand. Therefore, I am not going to be moved because you're at my right hand. thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Is fullness of joy at thy right hand. There are pleasures evermore. How many of us regularly flow with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and understand how we're supposed to be relating to them, that this is real, that this is the God relationship that he's trying to bring us into, and yet we're acting like Abraham, because remember, that's how we got into this. We're acting like Abraham in Genesis 15 and 17, where it's all about me. When are you going to do this for me? How come you haven't done this by now? Why don't you accept Ishmael? All that kind of stuff. We're horrible in the way that we treat him. But we don't see him as he is. We don't see them flowing regularly in the scriptures. We don't just go, whoa, my God, there's just a whole lot of them. It's not even about us. And we've made it all about us. So, all right, now let's go to Acts 2 again. You probably need to keep your place between Acts 2 and Psalm 16. So this is, we're going to be reading the whole set here of words, but this is the words that within it is where Peter quoted this in Acts 2. All right, so let's go to Acts 2, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Okay. So he's ready to, he's got some stuff. Verse 15, "For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Okay, so this guy is all over the word. He is not an ignorant fisherman. Are you? You know, he's not. That was the thing that touched me. I mean, I'm not trying to lift anybody up, but I was deeply touched, not just at what Alana was seeing, but you don't get to where she was seeing that without digging in. And she does another thing that's just amazing. She asks questions when she doesn't know. She asks questions. What a great thing. Okay, and so that's Peter we're talking about now. This is him. He is the little thing about let's go back to fishing, that's past. It's all done. He's now dedicated his life not to his occupation, but to God's life, Elohim, and understanding them, so that he can properly relate instead of violate. All right. So, verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." You know, I don't really dream a lot of dreams, but I've been having a lot of visions lately. And this says, your young men shall see the visions. I must be still. Oh, never mind. Okay. "And your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." All right. So which member of Elohim is doing the pouring out here? And there's, let's hop this train now to do a little study to try to match up something that is in Joel, and that Peter is saying here from there with something else. So Peter's quoting from many places in the Old Testament. This part of the study is to show you that Peter was there when Jesus used this Trinity language. Peter was there, and 11 other guys. And Jesus was talking to them because he was about to go to the cross. And he's saying important things, not about, like the disciples, so out of it, so not in tune. Of course, the Spirit of God hadn't come. But the temple, you know, what about the temple, you know, and when shall the end come and all this stuff. And he's trying to talk to them about Elohim, their God. Okay, so the Jews don't believe in three in one, okay? All right, this is important. They believe that there's one God because the commandment said, you know, there's one God. I'm one, is what he said, basically. So guess what? Neither did Peter, James, John, or Bartholomew, or any of those guys, neither did they believe. They believed in one. But Jesus was constantly planting the seeds of a relationship that was not of this earth, that they wanted us to enter into. And he's constantly seeding their ground and trying to put stuff in there, not so that he can teach people there's a Trinity, no, there's three actually. You Jews are wrong. That wasn't the point. The point was that they might know him, and because you can't know him if there's just one. He doesn't function that way. He functions within three, okay, or more. If two or more, three or more gathered in my midst, there am I, there am I. Okay, so there's one more, whatever number you are. It's important, okay? So, so he was there when Jesus used this Trinity language. And it came to him that in his mind, what Jesus was saying to them compared at this time when they were studying the scriptures before the Holy Spirit had been given yet, or right when the Holy Spirit was given, it compared similarly to what Joel said. That Jesus' words, and he's going, ooh, these really, even though Joel is saying he will pour out my spirit, and Jesus was saying I will send my spirit, that this is that. Okay, so so Jesus spoke these words to Peter and to others. Instead of seeing individuals, and this is my statement to you, so instead of seeing individuals like the Father and the Son talking, or him talking about the Father and the Son, and the Son doing things and the Spirit doing things, try to take it out of just three people in different countries, as it were. Well, his parts, this and that. Try to see it as them functioning as Elohim between themselves. Okay? Instead of just three separate things. This is so tight-knit because they're one that it's all has to be this way. And we went over some of these verses, not all of them. But we went over them, but I'm going to go over them again because we need to see this, that Jesus is already preparing them to understand there's three, and this is the way we operate. Psalm 2 was perfect to show that, wasn't it? Wasn't it? It was just incredible. Mwah! All right. John 13:20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, this is Jesus talking, truly, truly, I'm telling you this, he that receiveth whomever I send, receiveth me. He's whoever I pour out, he's receiving me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Okay, what is the big deal about all of that if you only see it as, well, you know, you got to receive him if you receive me. He's saying, let me tell you, we are functioning. We are moving together. I'm taking care of him. He's taking care of him. This one's taking care of me, and I'm taking care of him. And it's all a flow of each of us getting low so that that person would be lifted higher and moving in a certain spirit. Supposedly the body of Christ too, but certainly the body that is Elohim. All right, so truly, truly, I'm trying to tell you something here, Jesus would say. He that receives whomever I send, whoever I pour out on you, because if I pour out the Holy Spirit and then I'm gone, okay, you're receiving me. You're not just receiving somebody I sent. Okay. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, which is the Father. See? It's just they cannot help but speak in this Trinity language, is the way I put it with parentheses in my notes. But Elohim is the true grasp of this. All right? So, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. Okay, so now Jesus isn't talking about himself. And remember now, these are just some of the last, I mean, this is the last day or whatever before he's crucified. It's right, it's certainly within the last week, that he is setting forth eternal principles. But we just think he's talking about who, well, I'm going to go and then I'll send somebody else. That's just, I think that's the best way. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay, so Jesus said, I'll send him. But now he says the Father will send him because they will send him together down here in the weakened condition of this earth. But I'm sending him in my name because he doesn't want to go in his name. I'm sending him as invisible because he doesn't want to be seen, so that you don't make a big deal out of him, that you make a big deal out of the Father and the Son and their relationship. Anyway, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's, let me just read this. Here is Elohim in all his threeness. This is part of the Godhead movement. He will not, and then he says, he will teach you all things. And we go, okay, so the Holy Spirit's going to teach me all kind of stuff. No, no, within Elohim, he's only going to teach you one thing, either the Father or the Son. The Spirit's only going to teach you. And that's where he said, whatsoever I've said unto you, he's going to teach you that. So if we go off and go, oh, Holy Spirit, teach me how the atom works, or you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, the Holy Spirit is not here to teach us earthly things. This is meant to be the grand picture of the flow that is Elohim, the God who created all things and who set the creation of man on one course as far as his heart is concerned, that you may be in this same image. Okay? So Jesus is, you know, didn't you ever wonder why? Have you ever thought of this? Like John, the Gospel of John, verse 14, 15, and 16 really seem like they just repeat a lot. You ever wonder why? I mean, it's like, okay, or even sometimes in the verses you're going, okay, like this right here. This is also John 13. John 13 I read to you, and then now I just read John 14. And you can go, well, you know, you kind of already said all the sending stuff. We know who, you know, we know you can do it. God, how dull can we be that we're unattentive to the hard things Jesus is saying, and we're just seeing them in light of, well, you know, if I had a servant, I would send him too. He ain't sending no servant in that sense. He's sending himself in that person, in that oneness. They're all one, and honoring the honor. Okay. John 15. So I read John 14, John 13, 14, now 15, and then we'll read 16 next, and then 17 next. One verse out of each of these chapters. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, say, I'm not going to take all the credit about it. I'm sending him, but it's not just me. It's also the Father. But the point is that I'm going away. He's coming. If you could just, even though that little thing that I just did right there, if you could just stop that and put it down and look at it and think about the flow that's happening, that is It is God declaring himself without declaring himself. Try that one, because that's what it is. Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Okay? So, here's an interesting thing. Jesus regularly keeps talking about the Holy Spirit going to testify of him and going to teach us what he said. What if there was a grand picture reality of Jesus that the Holy Spirit was come to explain to us, but when we read that, we say, well, he's going to teach us what Jesus said, so I'm going to go over here and just memorize the sayings of Jesus. No, he's basically saying you need the Spirit of truth. And you're just reading the letter of the truth, the ink on white paper or the ink on papyrus, I don't know. But this is just incredible. All right, so I wrote down the Spirit proceeds from the Father but testifies of the Son. It's like, no wonder he's invisible. Where are you? I proceeded from the Father. No, where are you? I proceeded from the Father. I'm here to testify of the Son. Well, what about you? I'm not he. Sound like John the Baptist? I'm not the one. All right, John 16 now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away. I have to go away. I'm telling you, with all the 3.5 years that you've been with me, guys, I need to go away because you really don't understand me unless you understand them. You can't understand me just in me, because it's not just me. And it's not just the Father. And it's not just the Holy Spirit. It is one, and we are me. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. So, that it's expedient I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. I got to go away because somebody else is coming. And I can't stay here and declare all of the truth of what I truly am, because that's declaring myself. You just see the miracles. You hear the parables. You don't get it yet. I have to go away, because if I really, really explained it to you, I mean, haven't you ever had one of the parables where Jesus said, here's the explanation, you kind of went, that's it? Well, I got a feeling there's much more to God, Elohim, and I got a feeling there's much more for us from them, but we got to kind of get in there. We can't stand outside and just stare at scriptures that talk about one person. Really, I mean, we would say John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is just Jesus talking about going away and, you know, this and that. And yes, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so you can talk in tongues. And, you know, and he'll help you during church service so that you'll feel a lot more spiritual. He is doing everything he can to avoid talking about himself. But it's telling us, but if you really want to know me, there's somebody who will testify of me, but he won't testify of himself. That's what Jesus said. He'll take that which is mine, show it unto you, but he will not talk of himself. It's just the way it is, okay? And it's the way we're supposed to be. And there's an Adonai in all of that, and that's where we're going with all this more explanation to show that. But if we don't see Elohim, how are we going to understand an Adonai that is part of the three? And or two of them that's an Adonai for one of them. So it's real. I mean, for some of you, this may seem tedious, but it is. I mean, if you take the steps, you know, like what I was talking about with Ilana. If you take the steps, stumble, trip, fall, say, I don't understand that part. Whatever, how are you ever going to know if you're not just, you know, I'm going to I'm going to do this. Or, why should I spend all this time doing that? Man, that's a lot of scriptures and a lot of looking up and a lot of work, and Randy's already done that. You know? The Comforter, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's like, let me go, and I'll send you somebody that can really teach you. And of course, the disciples are going, well, you're the best teacher we ever heard. You're amazing. We don't want you to go, well, what is this guy going to have that you don't have the truth? He'll bring the spirit of truth. He'll bring the comfort that is not doctrine, but the comfort of oneness, the comfort of the flow. He'll bring the reality of an Adonai for you to understand and to learn to trust in instead of yourself in the deep trials and sufferings, and to not have to put your hand to it. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So Jesus is saying that the Spirit is more important than himself at this stage. He gets lower than the Spirit. I need to go away. I got to go away, or he won't come. You need him. You'll want him. He's good. I mean, he's better than me because I'm going away. But he's not, because he gets there and he starts declaring Jesus on a plane that we can't imagine. And I'm pretty sure most of us probably feel that we know that plane of Jesus. We know that. I'm not there. I want to know him. I want to be there. That's why I search. I'm preparing for all these classes. I mean, I taught a class on Monday. I taught a class on Tuesday. I taught a class on Wednesday this week. I'm teaching one on Thursday. But I'm digging. I want the Lord. And I don't want to feed you something that isn't the Lord. But it can just sound like, well, you know, to some of you, I'm sure it probably just sounds like I'm just droning on. You know, well, this just like Jesus is just droning on, you know, with 13 through 17 or whatever. Why do you have to say the same thing? Let's get on with it. Every word is from heaven. Greater than heaven, higher than the heavens. So Jesus is saying that, okay, I already said that. Okay, John 17. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. This is Jesus talking now to the Father. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come and show us your words, Jesus. Yeah, well, they weren't really mine. And they have received them, the words. They're going to write them down. They'll call it John and Matthew, but it won't be John, and it won't be Matthew, and it won't be that physician, and it won't be that guy that worked for Peter and Paul, that young kid. It will be the gospel. All right. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me. So I wrote, Jesus didn't give them his words, but the Father's. Since Jesus came out from the Father and was sent by the Father, then he is the lowly, weakened. He is in the lowly, weakened place, and the Father would function as his Adonai. John 14:23, ye have heard that I said unto you, I go away, the cross, the weakened, the willing weakness, and come again unto you through the Holy Spirit, the reality that he brings. come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. It's just always this thing. I'm sorry, it is not just in John 13 through 17. It is all through the Old Testament. So I don't know, let's see. Well, okay, I think I'm gonna stop. But we're not done with Psalm 16. There is more of it spoken of in the book of Acts by Peter. And one, I guess one of the I guess I should say this. We went through all of this. John 13 and all the way up through 17. The words that I read to you are the words that Peter heard that said he's going to send, he's going to pour out his spirit on you. He's coming. This is, and so Peter gets it and he goes, oh my God, I mean, I just got chills. Can you imagine Peter going, oh my God, Joel way back then was talking about this right here, that Jesus said to us. Y'all remember that? He said, da, da, da. Let's write it down. Let's see if we remember what he said. You know? Yes, this is that. What a glorious thing. You know, and the one reason why a lot of this was so effective in Peter is because he was present. You say, well, I wish I had been back then. No. Are you present with the Lord? Seriously, I'm not joking. Are you present with the Lord? Are you regularly with him? Are you listening to him? Are you in the word that he might breathe instead of quote unquote teach? That he might live in you, that he might be the living reality of the things that he was teaching when he was here. But now this is that. This is not the words of it, Peter's saying. That was the words of it. This is that, but this is the... He was talking about the Spirit. This is the one whom I can go to on a regular basis. And I can get low and I say, Holy Spirit, I understand how you and the Father and the Son function. And Jesus said you would glorify him. Well, I'm not going by Jesus saying you would glorify him. I'm going by the fact that I know how y'all work and that you want to glorify him. And the Holy Spirit, based on the functioning of the Godhead, Elohim, and the way that you are, and the way that y'all are, the surety that is greater, more sure than heaven and hell and anything else that was created, this surety, based on this surety, I'm asking you to show me, to exalt the lowly one, the crucified, in my heart. And if you guys will put it on that basis, I mean, if you write down what I just said, and then you start and you go around, so okay, I'm gonna pray. Let's see. Oh, you're gonna miss it. Be present. Be with him. Listen to what he says. Get in there. You know, I was thinking the other day of doing a blog called press your way forward, knock everybody else out of the way, but talking about the woman with the issue of blood who did that, because then she's just trying to get to Jesus, and what was in him came into her, his virtue. You know, we don't want to be pushy, but we want to be in a spirit that's willing to look foolish trying to get to the Lord. You got to get low first. Maybe he'll disease you, or maybe the disease is already here. Maybe we're not being affected by it. Maybe we got used to it and we just came back to where we were. You know? What is it? God said to so many of them, but one of them was Saul, when thou wast young, you were tender and, you know, da 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 da. But now, Father, we're not just people on this planet joining churches and trying to learn lessons that'll help our life on this earth. We are gathered here, even if my manner or my wording does not please, we are still here to get you in spite of me. And Father, I hear you. Jesus, I hear you. Holy Spirit, I hear you. I do. I hear the voice that is God. And I know that this is the path, walk ye in it. And I pray that you'll give us, first of all, lowliness like Abraham, and take us out of Genesis 15 and 17 and bring us into 18 and get us low and let those words come out of our mouth that came out of his mouth when he called you my Adonai. And let us do what he did and just serve you this and serve you that, and all of that beginning part of Genesis 18, how he loved. He didn't before, but he did after the circumcision. He loved being that low so that you could be high. Instead of us always being high and expecting you to do stuff for us. So, Father, I pray that. I pray that. I pray that from my heart and from my tears and from my quivering lips. Bring these things about for we who want this. For we who gather regularly and make the classroom, as it were, vanish, make the pulpit vanish, and may we enter in, and may your words echo around in that place of entering in that bring spirit and life and comfort and the spirit of truth. We ask in Jesus' name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.